That is so awesome. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're all here. And for those of you who might be guests with us, we've been on a mission over this Sunday, on a little journey of sorts. We've been calling it identity, and we're probably going to wrap it up here in the next week or so. What we've been doing over these number of weeks is trying to discover for some and rediscover for others who we truly are in Christ. One of the things that seems to be happening in the world right now are people are really struggling to know their identity. In the natural, we can see that happening because people are confused about gender issues, they're confused about all kinds of things for that matter, but you know, we will never find our true identity looking outside of God. It's impossible. You won't find it by looking outside of God or looking inside yourself. You will find your true identity by looking to God and allowing Him to define who you really are. And the way that you go about doing that on a practical basis is to part the pages of His Word and begin to read for yourself who it is that God has made you to be. And when you really start to figure that out, when you really start to understand it, it gives you a whole new paradigm in life. You go through life not seeing yourself as one thing. You go through life seeing yourself as how God sees you. And it makes a difference how you interact in the places that you go. It makes a difference how you get up in the morning, whether you get up in the morning feeling lousy about life and yourself, or whether you get up feeling reinvigorated because God has made you who you are. And so we've been taking a look at some of that stuff. What we're really saying is that God should get the final word. He should get the first word in our life, right?
Right.
He should get the very first word, right? Because He's the one who made us. And if He's the one who made us, He ought to be able to be the one who speaks into our life. He should get the ongoing word in our life because He's the one who sustains the very breath that you and I are taking right now. He's the one giving it to you. And He will get the last word, I promise you. He will get the last word. So we should give Him the first, we should give Him the middle, and we should give Him the last word about who we are. We've been looking at a number of different things. It's amazing how this list continues to build. But the very first week, we talked about how everyone starts out as an image bearer of God. God created nothing else in creation like us, the human race. And He made us in His likeness. There is something about you this morning and about me this morning that is very similar to who God is. And that's our starting point. Our starting point is that we are made to be image bearers of Him. In Christ, we go to the next one. In Christ, if you've invited Christ, if you've accepted Christ, He has made you a new creation. You're not the old person you used to be. You are something new in Him. He's repurposed you for a greater purpose. He's taken that old barnwood of your life and refashioned it into something else for a greater purpose. He's accepted you. There's a lot of things in this world where we find rejection, but we're here to tell you today that God has accepted you for who you are, warts and all, lumps and all, scars and all. He's accepted you for who you are. You are not just a child of God. You are a son or daughter of His. You are not an orphan. You have a home. And because you're a son or daughter, He has made you an heir of His. There is an inheritance for you. Some of it you will know in this life. Much of it you won't. He is storing it up for you. We can't even imagine what we're going to end up with. He has made you good, not by any work that you and I have done, but simply out of the goodness of what Christ has done for us. You don't have to say you're a bad person in Christ. You are a good person that God's still working on. You are free. You are free to be who God's called you to be. You don't longer have to be bound by all the systems of this world and the sin that we were born with. He has made you in such a way to be free. We are the aroma of Christ. And we are conquerors, which we talked about last week. Without spending more time on those things, I'd like to tell you one more thing about your true identity in Christ this morning. You are, I am, an ambassador. You know, there's this verse here that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now again, he's writing this about himself and some of his comrades in ministry, but I want to show you this morning that while it may have applied to them now, it certainly applies to us today. Paul writes and he says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." You know, there seems to be a lot of confusion today about what it means to be a follower of Christ. I don't know why. I don't know why it's become so complicated. I don't understand why there's people that come up with all kinds of ideas about that when it's really a relatively simple thing. Some have said that a follower of Christ or a devoted follower of Christ simply means that you have, embraced God, you have asked forgiveness for your sins and invited God to come in and take up a home and residence in your heart and life. Others have said that, being an ardent follower of Christ is about getting our lives straightened out. It's about living an upright and moral life and kind of a self-improvement program, if you will. You know, if you need to lose weight or gain wisdom or quit smoking or all those other things, then, embracing Christ would be a good idea. And while I'm very sure this morning that being reconciled to God is an indispensable part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and there is no doubt whatsoever that if you do place your life in His hands, He will give you a better life than you would know without Him. But this morning, I somehow it gets lost in the sauce. Somehow people, for some reason, have forgotten that a good part of the reason that we become followers of Christ is so that we can invite other people to be followers of Christ. It's just not a self-improvement program. It's not about making sure God's not mad at me anymore. It's about getting involved in the business of inviting others to be a part of this incredible kingdom that we've already referenced here this morning that is not of this world. And so Paul, as he's talking about this, he references it in this way. He says, we are ambassadors of Christ. If you could right now, just turn to your neighbor and whether they know it or not, just tell them you're an ambassador of Christ. Now, some of you may be asking yourself, what exactly is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you were to take both some English definitions or understandings of the idea of ambassador, and then if you were to go to some Bible helps and you would begin to look at what this Greek word literally means, I've come up with this synthesized definition for our purposes here this morning. An ambassador is a commissioned person whose full-time job is to live, at least for a period of time, in a foreign land, intentionally building relationships with people native to that land and purposefully representing and advancing to those people the positions and desires of his home country. That is both in a biblical sense and certainly in a as we understand it culturally, that is what an ambassador is all about. It's a person moving from their home country, the place that is familiar with them, moving to a foreign place, to a foreign nation or country, and living there in that country, building networks of relationship for purposes of really relaying, if you will, or advancing the ideas, agendas, the programs, things like that, of his homeland. Are you all with me? So what I want to do with us this morning is I kind of want to take that and break that down and see how exactly does that imply to you and I today as we look to serve as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to take it step by step. The first thing here we said is that an ambassador is a commissioned person, a commissioned person. Well, what's that mean? What's it mean to be commissioned? To be commissioned is about having been given the authority, the recognition, if you will, to serve as a liaison, an agent to, having been given the permission and the approval. Maybe you saw in the news here not too long ago that our president appointed a couple people as ambassadors, and there was a bunch of hubbub about it because these two people had never even been to these countries before, and yet they were being appointed to kind of represent us in those countries. But they were, the president of our country anyways, America, United States, authorizes a particular person or people to go and represent our country in a foreign land. Can you imagine if a person just showed up, maybe they were there on vacation or they just went to a foreign country, and they went to that country's parliament or place of government and said to them, "I'm here to serve as the ambassador for the United States." That they wouldn't be recognized as such because they hadn't been appointed or commissioned or authorized to be of such a nature, right? So there has to be this idea of being authorized, this idea of being commissioned. Now, in Christianity, one of the things that we celebrate is everything that Jesus did Friday through Sunday on Easter weekend, right? That's like the focus, crosshairs of our faith and of Christianity. But it was incredible. It was a strike of genius that Jesus, after being resurrected, spent time in relationships with people. And one of the things that he did was towards the tail end, he said, it's in Matthew 28, one of the incredible things that he did was he gathered his folks together and he says, "I'm going to invest in you the authority to go and make disciples of all people and nations." It's a genius. Because can you imagine with me for a moment, if he would not have commissioned us, if he would have just gotten up from the grave, you know, maybe showed himself to a few people and then he's out of here, said nothing about releasing us, commissioning us to go and do the stuff. We would have been like those visitors to a foreign country saying, "I'm here to represent the United States of America," when we haven't been commissioned to do so. But he didn't do it that way. It was a stroke of brilliance. Imagine that, God doing something brilliant, right? It was a stroke of brilliance that he gathered everybody together and he said, now, I'm transferring to you. I have all authority in heaven and earth. Now, that's pretty good, right? Not just the earthly authority. I've got all heaven and earth authority. And now I'm going to commission you to go and represent me to the nations abroad. Now, here's the cool part. Not only did he, here it is, let me just show you the verse. I actually have it for you. It said, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and for earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So we've been commissioned, right? Right? You and I, this isn't just for preachers right here. There wasn't just a group of preachers he brought together. It was just a group of ordinary people. And he said to them, I'm commissioning you. I'm releasing you. I'm authorizing you to go in my name and proclaim the good news and make disciples of all nations, right? So you've been commissioned. But here's the cool part. Not only have we been commissioned, we have been empowered. We have been empowered. Listen to this verse here, Acts 1 and 8. And he's telling these same group of people, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for what? Power to be witnesses, to be testimony givers, to be people who declare the goodness of God. And where are you going to do that? Well, you're going to do that here in Jerusalem. Okay, that's a good starting point. You're also going to do it in areas outside of Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and listen to this, to the ends of the earth, to everywhere there is people, you are authorized, empowered to go and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. So all of us in this room is a starting point. As ambassadors, it is clear through Scripture that we have been commissioned for such an honor, for such a privilege. You know, if you are appointed as an ambassador, that's like a big deal, right? In the natural, that's a big deal. Well, who are you? Well, I'm an ambassador to China. Whoa. Wow. Well, you and I get the privilege and the honor. We've been commissioned. We've been authorized. We've been powerized. I don't know if that's a word. But you know what I mean? You have been given that honor, that blessing to be able to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Now, the next part of that little thing I read to you to start with there is it's a full-time job. A full-time job. You listen, there are no ambassadors that commute. Right? You can't do it. Well, maybe the one to Canada could. You know, you could live in Niagara Falls and or in Washington or something and commute back and forth, but that's not the idea of the job. It's a full-time job. It's not a part-time one. It's a full-time job. We were just recently blessed to hear from our global worker in China. He was here for a number of weeks among us, and most of you here know his story. He was a school teacher down in Salamanca area for a number of years, and then felt like God was calling him to go into the ministry. And he's done a variety of things over the years. He served as a missionary in New York City, and he was down in South America for a period of time. And he's kind of been all over the map. He worked as a kind of a home missionary at a camp south of here on the Pennsylvania-New York border. But right now, he finds himself as a worker in China. He's in China. Now, when he comes home, he updates us about some of the stuff that he does, right? He's giving guitar, he's learning Chinese, he's giving some guitar lessons, he's doing a number of different part-time things, right? Right? But his full-time job is he is there representing the kingdom of God in China, right? That's really his job. He's doing some other things to give him a platform or to give him a launching pad to do the real thing that he's there to do, right? It's no different for you and I. You see, we have jobs to do. We have kids to raise, marriages to merge. We've got stuff we're trying to pull off, right? Things that we're about doing. But behind all of that, as the foundation for all of that, should be our full-time job, which is to bring the kingdom of God to bear wherever we are. You're looking at me like this is something like foreign to you. Listen, you are a full-time ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's what you do. You may not have known it or not, but when you embrace Christ with your life, your citizenship changed. You didn't get any paperwork stating that, but I'm here to tell you, your citizenship changed. Your primary citizenship became that of the kingdom of God. Now you are here, and wherever you're at here as a resident or citizen of the United States of America, your full-time job, my full-time job, is to represent Jesus Christ wherever I find myself in this part of the world. Okay, well, hopefully you'll get more convinced as we go along. All right, number three, you live in a foreign place. You know, the longer I go in this thing, the more foreign this place becomes. The more my heart longs for my real home. You live in a foreign place. In fact, if this place doesn't feel foreign to you, you need to check your citizenship. No, I mean that. You need to check out and find out where it is you really, you know, where you really belong, what you're really belonging to. Because for me, it feels like a foreign place sometimes. You know, if it's a foreign place to you and I, can you imagine how foreign it was to Jesus? Wow. The Word became flesh and dwelt here among us. That word dwelt means to take up residency. You know, when an ambassador goes from like our nation to another country, that becomes, if you've ever been in another country other than Canada or, well, even Mexico would apply, but if you've ever been in another country, it's a different world. It's a different culture. It feels different. It smells different. The foods taste different. It's just everything is different. Could you imagine coming from heaven to earth? Hello? One translation says Jesus made this his home. Another translation says he moved into the neighborhood. You and I, even though in our hearts, a lot of times this doesn't fit well. It doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't, you know, it's just not what we wish it was. We have to realize that we have to establish residency here. We have to make this home because of this next thing. We all know, and I can tell you, you folks that been born, raised, and lived here your whole life in Arcade, you know whether there's a foreigner among you or not. You know that. You know how I know you know that? Because I once was that person. When you move here from another area, my remembrance of all that is there is this like cautionary guard that people have. You know, they set out the orange cone out there quite a ways. You know, and then as they get the move, you know, the cone moves a little closer, right? But at first, the cone is way out there and say, wait a minute, you're not from around here. And somehow, it's our job, when we're in that kind of place, it's our job to build authentic relationship with people so that they can get rid of the cone. Do you understand what I'm saying? And here's the problem. Here's the problem. As part of the kingdom of God, we're being forced, not forced, we have the privilege, we have the honor, but we're being put in situations where it's uncomfortable. And others have their guard up, right? And we've kind of got our guard up a little bit, too, because, you know, it's different. It's awkward. It's, you know, the culture's not what we wish it was. And so there's this, the kind of this posturing if it's that goes on. And what I'm suggesting to us this morning is we must do that. We must intentionally put ourselves in those places and endeavor to build authentic relationship with people, because it's only out of those relationships that we have the opportunity and maybe given the opportunity to speak on behalf of the kingdom that we represent. If we never look to do that, that's why people, you know, they think, well, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna do some things for God. Well, that's good, and you may be able to do some seed planting and some things like that. But I'm telling you, if you're going to really get to the point where you're able to capture and speak into and bring life to that other person, that other party, you must try to build authentic relationship with them. How would it be if the ambassador of our particular nation moved into the compound of a place in a foreign country and never looked to foster relationships with any people? It wouldn't work. It would be impossible. There's no way he could advance the particular positions of his home country if he never looked to build authentic relationships. If we are to be effective ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we must build relationships with people. Our model is Jesus. He's always the model. You know, Jesus didn't just come down and go to church. Hello? That was like, in terms of this idea of ambassador, that was like the consulate, the temple. That was like the consulate. But if you read your Bible closely, you'll find out that Jesus went about building relationship with people outside of the consulate. In fact, he went about building relationship with people who the consulate didn't want coming to their consulate. You know what I'm talking about. He went about building relationship with people that he knew there would come a time that he could speak into their lives and bring life to them. You and I must do the same. As effective ambassadors, we must intentionally look to build relationships. This sounds crazy for a pastor to say, but inviting somebody to church is one aspect of what you and I can do. But I'm telling you, those people that you work with, those people that you play with, you must build relationship with them. You know, I was once told when starting down this road of endeavoring to pastor, I was once told by a very wise person that the best thing that you can do is not just build relationships with people in your church, but build relationships with people in your community. And over these many years, I know as many people in the community as I know here in this church, or more. Because it's my heart, and it has happened on multiple occasions, that after endeavoring to build authentic relationship with them, sometimes there's the phone call from those people asking for some help. And those relationships have already been forged. And now I get to represent and advance the positions and the truth and the good news that took years in the making to build. Intentionally building relationships that brings us to this final part, representing and advancing the desires of the home country. If our citizenship is really the kingdom of God, then those are the ideals. Those are the positions that you and I should be advancing. It's good for us to build relationships, but ultimately, the effective ambassador is working in a place far from home so that when the time is right, he can advance the interests of his home country. Now, what Paul called that relationship or that advancing, he used one word to describe it. He called it but it's one word that we're talking about now. He called it the ministry of reconciliation. I want to read it to you. If you have your Bibles, I didn't put it on the screen for you, but if you want to follow along with me, I'm going to read a number of verses here. And I want you to kind of hear his heart and God's heart to us this morning. This is the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter we're in. Chapter 5. And I'm going to be looking at verse 11 and following. I'm not going to be reading every verse, but just kind of hitting some different things here along the way. He starts out by saying, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Then down in verse 14 it says, for Christ's love compels us. Because we were convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16 says, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Did you hear that? We don't see people the way others may see them. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, that is not a word. This word reconciliation, it's not a word that we use a lot or we hear a lot out in our culture and society. In fact, if you do a little back study on this thing, it wasn't a religious term at all when Paul wrote it. It was actually a political term in the world that they were living in at the moment. It wasn't a word they would have said at the temple or anything like that. The word reconciliation had to do with a political dispute. And what Paul is trying to write here and say is that there, at a certain time, there was a dispute between us and God. God the Father sent his Son to try to settle the dispute. Are you there? And through what the Son did, and by us embracing that, we find ourselves reconciled to God. The dispute between us and God is there no longer. Are we clear? It's the gospel. Like, we were the enemies of God, but because of his son and us embracing of that, we are no longer enemies of God. In fact, we're called friends of God. There's been this reconciliation that occurred. But then he goes on to write and say that in Christ's absence now, we have been given this message of reconciliation. What's that mean? That means that as we are working with folks and advancing the desires, representing the desires of our home country, what we're essentially doing is we're working with people to see them get their dispute with God rectified. Are you there? That is the ministry of reconciliation. We are inviting people to no longer be at odds with God. We are inviting people to no longer see themselves, to see God or themselves as enemies of each other. We are introducing to them the idea that if they embrace what Christ has done for them and place their lives in his hands, they are no longer enemies of God, and God's no longer an enemy of theirs. Now, a lot of times, especially in the world that we live in, an ambassador of one country is in another country to get the best deal he can for his home country. Are you there? I'm here to tell you this morning, and sometimes in getting that best deal for his home country, it may not be in the best interest of the people of that country. That's what's happening. But the king that we represent, that's not the case. Because he's offering them this idea of reconciliation, dispute settlement. He's offering them this idea because, yes, he wants to be in relationship with us, but he's offering them this deal so that they can see the wisdom and the value and the virtue of accepting this so that their lives will be bettered by it. The ministry of reconciliation. I take you back to this verse. Actually, I can't because I don't have it on the screen, but I'll read it to you. We have been given, verse 20, you and I have been given. We are ambassadors of Christ. And because of that, God is making his appeal through us. And the final part of that verse says, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That is, my friends, our DNA. That is part of our true identity. You and I are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Going out, when we leave this place, this little place here this morning, acts as like the consulate. And here we are talking about things that pertain to the kingdom of God, and what our relationships should be like with Christ and so forth and so on. We do it every week. We come back and we have a holy huddle of sorts. But this is not our primary job. This is where we come in and we kind of check in with each other and see the different things God's doing in and through our lives. But now what's going to happen in just a few moments is that you and I are going to leave the consulate of the kingdom of God, one of them, is not the only one. We're going to leave the consulate, and we're going to go out there now to the places that we live and work and network with people throughout the week. And what we're looking to do is serve as ambassadors of Christ to those parts of the world. You see, I will not be where you are this week. You will not be where I will be this week. Our paths may cross somewhere along the way. But for the most part, in here this morning represents a vast portion of the places and cultures around this whole area. What we're looking to do is to take this wonderful, it's not a bad, we've got an awesome message, right? We're inviting people to no longer be enemies of God. Well, how great a word can you give somebody than that? But you and I are being called now to go out into those places as our full-time job and bring this good news out where we go. It's great news. Now, here's what happens. If one of us doesn't take that responsibility to heart and seriously, or if a lot of us don't do that, then what happens is that those places that you go are still untouched. Hello? They're still untouched and thus uninfluenced by the kingdom of God. Part of the dilemma that we've got in our times that we're living here is that a lot of that is taking place in our world. We've got people coming to the consulate every week. In fact, there's some, I don't know if you check lately, there's some really big consulates out there. And then we have our little discussion and we sing a few songs and we feel good about it and we're glad we're a part of it and so forth and so on. And then we go out and nothing ever gets done or said all week long. Nothing. We don't wake up intentionally thinking, awesome, I get to be an ambassador for Jesus today. We wake up thinking, oh, I got to go to work. Darn it. I wish we could figure another way that I didn't have to work. Right? But if you see those places as opportunities, thank you, as strategically designed places that God has put you as his ambassador, it gives you a whole new paradigm of why you're there. You're not there just pulling in some money. Let's get the money flowing here. You are there because you're building relationships with people at that similar place. And eventually God will give you a divine appointment. I'm telling you, it'll happen. A divine appointment to pray for a person or to do something to bring this awesome idea of reconciliation into another person's world. It's true. I leave you with this verse. I'm going to pray in just a minute. This is out of Proverbs. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Wow. We get to be agents of life, agents of health to the places that he strategically puts us. You are not where you are by accident. And part of your identity is to be an ambassador for Christ in the very places that he has set you. That starts at home. You know, we've got relationships there to bring the kingdom of God to bear. It bubbles over or spills over into your workplace, into your extended family, into schools. Kids, you're going to be headed back to school here in just a few short days. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to depress you. All of those places God has strategically placed us. Like people coming from one country to another country to serve as ambassadors for him. I know whenever we talk about ideas of evangelism or missions or anything like that, people say, can you talk about something different? But I'm telling you, please hear me. Your true identity is wrapped up in this. And if you grab hold of this thing, It gives you a whole new reason why you're doing life. And it gives you a whole new reason why you're at the grocery store right now. Whole new reason why you're, you know, at Value right now, or I'm on mission. I'm an ambassador. Wherever I go, whoever people like God brings across my path. Okay, God, what are we doing here? There's something you want to do through this moment. You know, I'm trying to pay attention here. What's going on? You know, and you start out everything. All these relationships start out same way any relationship does, where you, hey, how are you? How are you doing? So and so on. And, you know, you just never know where that thing may end up going. I want you to pray with me this morning as we bring things to a close here. I'd like you to avail your lives to God again this morning and say, Lord, I'm, in the words of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I desire to represent the kingdom of God. I desire to be an ambassador wherever life may take me. Is that your heart's cry today? Is that what you want your true identity to be? It's almost like, I mean, if you want to think about it in a kind of a fun sense, you're like a CIA agent. You know, you're people may know you as one, in one way, hopefully in a good way. But you're there, you know in your heart, you're there to bring to bear the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a really good thing. You know, the kingdom of God, Paul wrote one time and he said, the kingdom of God is about love and joy and peace. All those things that a lot of times are said about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Wow. We get to be that? We get to bring that to the table? It's not like we're serving up some raunchy food here. We've got some awesome stuff to share with people. Like I said to you last week, you know, you can't make people like the stuff. I can't make anybody as an ambassador. I can't make anybody. Embrace the ideas of God's kingdom. But I can certainly offer it to them. I can live in such a way that it makes more sense to do that than what they're doing. I can have more joy in my life, more peace in my life. Father, we're here this morning as agents of yours. We've been captivated by how you set out from heaven to come to this foreign land. Your Spirit has drawn us to your mess, to the man and to the message that he proclaimed. Our hearts have embraced it. We feel free from our guilt and our shame. We no longer feel as though we're distant from God. We feel embraced by Him, loved by Him, accepted by Him. And now you've taken that and somehow turned that all around and commissioned us, authorized us, given us a lanyard with a little plaque that says Ambassador of Christ. Lord, when we leave this place today, I'm praying that we won't take our lanyard off and lay it on a table someplace till we come back in next week, pick it back up again. I'm praying that we will take that title, that authorization that you have blessed us with, and we'll find ourselves even this week advancing and representing the kingdom of God. What an awesome privilege. What a huge responsibility. I'm praying that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. As we've heard here this morning, we can't do this. We can't be effective ambassadors on our own. We need that empowerment as you came to give us. We avail our hearts to that right now. We lift our hands and our lives to you and we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill us anew. Recommission us anew. Give us that awareness to be able to see what it is that you're doing. To be able to hear with our ears and see with our eyes what the Spirit is up to and how we can get involved. Lord, that's our true identity. Ambassadors for you. We may be salesmen, we may be plumbers, we may be auto mechanics, school teachers, salespeople, whatever we are in the natural, our true identity is that we are ambassadors for you. Please help us to seize that, grab hold of that, and live that out. In Jesus' name I pray.